Blog Talk Radio.
What a moment you have brought me through. Hallelujah. Grateful, thankful, and blessed. God has brought us through another day. God has given us another opportunity to move forward in His Word, to move forward in our life, to move forward into another day. Praise the Lord, everybody, because He didn't have to wake you up this morning. But He did. And so I'm saying thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for another day. Thank you, God, for another day to hopefully be better than I was on yesterday. Better than I was yesterday. Being able to give you honor. Being able to give you glory. Being able to give you praise, for you are God. And I am grateful to be your daughter. So good morning, everybody. I pray that your day will be a great day. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father God in heaven, I thank you for another day. I thank you for another opportunity to read and teach your word, God. I pray that this day, that someone gets a word that touches their heart, touches their mind, touches their spirit, God. That if they do not know you, they will say, what must I do to be saved? But Lord God, you are our blessing. You are a blessing because you are a father. So you love us unconditionally. So Heavenly Father, again, I lift word to you, thanking you, praising you, giving you honor and glory. For your word tells us that we are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. And we are pure in heart, for we shall see you. So, Father God, I thank you for your grace and mercy. I thank you for your loving kindness. I thank you for the blessing of the Savior who went to the cross for me. And in his name, I lift up this word, asking you, Father God, to increase as I decrease. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thank you all for joining in this morning. We have a lot of word today. But before I get started, I just want to wish my sister-in-law, Linda Payne, happy birthday. Birthdays I get. And I am blessed to have such an awesome sister-in-law that's like my sister. She is my sister. And has been since 1978, and that sounds like a long time ago. Whew, a real long time ago. This year. So I am grateful to have her in my life. And so as we get ready to move forward, we are a lot of words this morning. We will be in Genesis chapter 9 and 10. The third Psalm, verses 5 and 8, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 23 through 27, and our title is coming out of Matthew chapter 5 this morning. We're going to talk some Beatitudes, some blessed are. Are you blessed this morning? I am, and I'm grateful that God woke me up, so I'm blessed to have another day. And pray I get more accomplished today than I did even on yesterday. So thanking God, praising God, giving God honor, glory, and hallelujah praise. And the word for this morning is in Genesis chapter 9, chapter 9 through chapter 10. So get your Bibles, because this is Bible study. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Genesis chapter 9, and let's get started. And it says, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that moves on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even the green herb, but you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood. Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood by man, his blood shall be shed, but in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. Then God spoke to Noah and said, and to his sons with him, saying, and as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, with every living creature that is with you, the birds and the cattle, the birds and the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I will establish by my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. We'll get it right in a minute. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of the covenant between you and the earth. And I don't know if I remember telling you guys, I was on my way to work one morning after a pretty bad storm, and all I could see in my car was a half a rainbow. And I was like, it was so beautiful, and I'm like, doing basically what I shouldn't have been doing. I took a picture of the rainbow while I was in the car. And so when I got to my destination, I was able to turn around, park, and take a really great rainbow picture, and it was the full rainbow. And in the middle, it looked like an eye or a star. And then on each side, because the sun was kind of trying to shine through it, so it looked like a star and then a huge star in the middle of it. And all I could think of was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our Holy Ghost, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because the way the rainbow was, it looked like a big cross in the middle with the Father and the Son. It was so beautiful that I got all teary-eyed, and I will post it on my Facebook page for those that are on Facebook to see, because I just thought it was so pretty. You know how God does things. He just gives us such beauty. You know, he will give us beauty for ashes. That's just how he works. You know, it is just gorgeous. You know, but God made the rainbow as a covenant with us. And you have people getting all bent out of shape over the rainbow. Well, it's that it's a covenant with God. Nobody can replace what God has for you. Nobody can replace what God has for you. I say it again. No one can replace what God has for you. But you are a son and a daughter of God, and he loves you. And he gave us the rainbow as a covenant with him. What an absolutely mighty God we have. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. You shall see God if you have a pure heart. God has given us a rainbow as a covenant with us to say, if you're pure in heart, remember, I will never again destroy the earth with water. I won't. And then he tells us, as we go forth, and I love this, it shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in that cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become flood to the destroy of flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah. And from these the whole earth was populated. Can I say that again? These three were the sons of Noah. And from these the whole earth was populated. So, if these three sons were the sons of Noah, and this from them the whole earth was populated, that means that we all share an ancestor called Noah, his wife, and we all are related. So why are we acting all foolish? Why are we acting foolish? So I say to you, cousins, let's love each other. Let's be kind to each other. Let's lift up the name of Jesus and thank God that he gave us a covenant of a rainbow. So I love you because you're my family, and I will not be angry at someone because they don't look like you. Because I know that they are my cousins, many millennia removed, but they're still my family. And that's what we should look at, that we are family. And as we keep moving forward, it says, and Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk, and he came uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and sold his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took his garment, laid it over both their shoulders, and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine, and knew that his younger son had done what his younger son had done to him. Then he said, curse be Canaan. A servant of servants he shall be with seven. And he says, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. And may God enlarge Japheth and make you dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Now, this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, and Tarek. The sons of Gomer were Ashpenaz, and we understand that where a group of people consider themselves Jews from, they're Ashkenazis, but Ashkenaz, right, that in Tabar. The sons of Zevon were Elisha, Tarek, Ish, Kippen, Sardin. These are the Kosan peoples of the Gentiles. From these, the Kosan peoples of the Gentiles were separated into their lands, everyone according to his language, according to their families, into their nation. So the sons of Ham were Cush, Mezaram, Heth, Canaan. The sons of Cush were Seba, Hadbala, Sabata, Rama, Shabbat-Tekla, and the sons of Rama were Sheba and Dedan. Cush begot Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty hand. On the earth he was a mighty hand before the Lord. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter, before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, Calmel, in the land of Shinar. From that land he went to Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Calah, Gladden between Nineveh and Calah. It is the principal city. Mezaram begot Ledam, Ananim, Lahabim, Naphtahim, Pasharam, Pabrushim, and Kaslahim, from whom came the Philistines and the Capital. Canaan begot Sidon, his first man, in the seed. The Jebusites, the Amorites, the Gershites, the Hivites, the Arkites, the Mishlamites, and the Arvadites, the Zemarites, and the Hamanites. Afterwards, the family of the Canaanites were dispersed, and the border of the Canaanites, which runs to God, as you go towards Gera, as far as Giza. Then as you go towards Sodom, Gomorrah, Adama, and Zebulun, as far as Lisha, these were the sons of Ham according to their families, according to their language, in their lands, and in their nations. And the children were born also to Shem, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, the son of Shem, Asher, Ephraim, Asadat, Lad, Aram, the sons of Amorites, Hul, Ithar, Mash, Ephraim, begot Shelah, and Shelah begot Eber. Eber was born to sons, the name of one was three, but in his day the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Jatam. Jatam begot Modad, Shelah, Hadarah, Mabet, Jira, Hadaram, Yudah, Sitta, Obo, Abimila, Sheba, Orpha, Havilah, and Yodab. All these were the sons of Joktan, and their dwelling places were dwell the families of the sons of Noah according to their generations in their nations, and from these the nations were divided on the earth after the flood. Whew. And a life lesson from Noah chapter 9. And it says this: this is a sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature. When God makes a promise, he does not want us to forget it. Therefore, he often gives us some tangible sign or pledge of to memorialize his promise. And to this day, we see rainbows to remind us of God's promise and the covenant we have with God. Genesis 9:21, he drank of the wine, he was drunk and became uncovered in his sins. Even righteous and blameless people like Noah do foolish things that fall into sin. But God is so gracious that he calls us to repentance so that we might once more enjoy the fullness of his blessings. God wants us to enjoy the fullness of his blessings. Third Psalm, verses 5 through 8. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people, Elah. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 23-27. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. Can we say praise God? But God don't play. He will send it at you. He will come at you like a whirlwind. And we need to understand God loves us, but he will discipline us. Just like a loving father, a loving mother will discipline their children. We got to remember the spirit of rod for the child. Spirit of rod for the child. Matthew chapter 5, and it says this, and this is where our title for the day is coming, and it tells us we are blessed, blessed, blessed whoever you are blessed by God. And we as children of God must remember, I'm blessed, and you got to just put your hand over your heart this morning and say, I'm blessed, and mean it, I'm blessed. It's so easy to whine and complain about everything. But when you think about the goodness of the Lord, put your hand over your heart and say, I'm blessed. I'm saying it. My hand's over my heart. And I'm saying I'm blessed. I'm blessed with overflow. I'm blessed with more than I could ever, won't ever need. I'm blessed. Blessed in my coming in. Blessed in my going out. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. And as we go into the word, it said, and seeing the multitude, he went up on a mountain, and we're talking Jesus. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that is our title for today. Again, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is being good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled upon underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. Oh, I love this word. You are the light of this world. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Hallelujah. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Hallelujah. Every time I think about being the light of the world, you know, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And, you know, when I think of that, I think of my church. My church is on a hill, but you don't think of it as being on a hill until you come up the street and you go under a viaduct. And when you go down into the viaduct and then you come up, and as far as you go up, you wind up being at my church. And my church sits on the corner at the top of the hill. And I always say, we are a light. We are a light of the world. And we are on the hill, and we're not hidden. We stand out. When you pass by, you can't help but glance at the church, because it has a beautiful red cross in that stained glass window. And you kind of glance because it's just such a pretty, as long as they have a pretty little church. It looks little, but on the inside it's huge. And you think, oh God, you gave us this. You gave us this. God, thank you. So we should never forget that we are the light of the world. And that we are on a hill, so we should not be hidden. We are like a city on a hill, and should not hide the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. You are the light, family. You are the light that goes out for people to see, that we should light it up. Light up the joy that comes from God. Light up His grace, light up His goodness, light up the hope in the future that God has given us. We got to be a light shine all over everything. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy but to fulfill. Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees who he was. You know, every time I see Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, I always think about the last thing the queen tells her daughter from the afterlife. Show them who you are. Show them who we are. And we are kind. We are generous. We will not kill. will not steal, and we will not destroy. Because they didn't. They were minding their own business. But once somebody finds out that you have something valuable, the first thing they can think of is to steal it. To steal it. Or to colonize you. Or to take what is yours. What God gave you, they covet and want. All the things that God can tell us not to do, thou shalt not covet. It's in there. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. But we know that evil does prevail. But Jesus had to tell them. He was telling them. Remember, Pharisees and Sadducees were there when he got baptized. So they saw the heavens open. They saw the dove come down. And as the Lord's voice spoke, this is my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased. They know this. And now he's preaching. He's telling them, you're blessed. You're blessed. And then he lets them know, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one little tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. He spoke it, and I believe it. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men, so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. For whosoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, come on now. You got to be careful of that word. You fool shall be in danger of hell. You will be in danger of hell fire by calling somebody a fool. We cannot use that term and call somebody that word. God has put that one in the book. Don't call nobody a fool. Keep that behind your teeth. Because, again, you will be held accountable. You will be held accountable. And, you know, and when we look up the word raka, it's an adjective, and it's a biblical word meaning worthless or empty. Raka, worthless or empty. And it says, whoever says his brother raka, which means you are worthless and empty, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and then remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him. Lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. We got to be so careful. Jesus spoke everything we need. God created all of our genealogy so we know we are family. and we got to love each other. And as we come to the last part of the day's lesson, how can I rid myself of guilt? Consider several key steps required to be free from guilt, all under the banner of forgiveness. One, admit to the sin that created the guilt. You know, I don't like my sister. I don't like my brother because why? Put it on paper. Admit the sin that created the guilt. Repent of your sin to God. If you have sinned against another person, confess to that person. Also, in facing the sin, make certain that it is a sin before God. The sin you think you have committed may have been merely a mistake, an error, or someone else's sin. On the other hand, remember that our society is quick to accept some simple behaviors as normal. We all understand that. You know, if you come across the anniversary on tomorrow of January 6th insurrection, we all looked at this, saw it with our own eyes, saw officers bloody and beaten, but yet we're told, oh, it was just a tourist going through the Capitol. Yeah. I saw it with my own eyes. I was watching it on C-SPAN. I saw it, and you can't tell me I didn't see what I saw. I saw the news that was on the Capitol ground. The people chanted, hang my pen. Vice President, he was on the state, duly elected Vice President of the United States. Because he was doing his constitutional duty to transition to a new administration that barely won. Because we allowed a lie to become the truth of them. We have to be truthful and honest because God is in control. And I'm not going to vilify anybody. I'm going to say that we need to pray for a United States of America. Because we are united. We are one. But we are divided. Leave a gap for the enemy to slide in and destroy it. We gotta love each other. Don't let political foolishness make you crazy. Don't let political foolishness drive you apart from your friends, from your neighbors, from your family. It's not worth it. And as we go back to our word this morning, Dr. Stanley says the Bible presents a very clear picture of what is sin and isn't. If you have any doubt about whether you have sinned, consult the scriptures. When you confess to God or a person that you have sinned, don't try to justify what you did. Simply state your sin or error. Then ask God or the person to forgive you. Make amends. If you have wronged another person, don't try to substitute a request for forgiveness by doing kind deeds for that person. This simple principle holds for your relationship with God. Don't try to substitute work for genuine forgiveness. When you mess up, you gotta clean up. In seeking to make amends for a wrong committed against another person, you may be wise to ask the person what we are sued, we're considered fair payment for the hurt or injury, or you may want to offer satisfaction of some type. The best repayment may be a genuine change in your life, which may involve counseling or professional help or therapy. Ask God to give you wisdom in identifying appropriate amends. Also ask him to give you the courage and the fortitude to follow through on your commitment to the offended person. Accept forgiveness. If you have sinned against God and have repented, you can be assured that he has forgiven you. His word promises that he will pardon you, and God always keeps his word. If you have sinned against another person and he forgives you, accept his word of forgiveness and face value. If I say, please forgive me, then you forgive me. And I repent of what I did. And I love you. So please give me up any sin thought, any sin committed, any sin of word or deed. Please forgive me. You got to learn how to ask. And when someone asks of us to forgive them, we gotta learn to forgive. And the second point we have is this: don't try to second guess his sincerity or motive. What happens if you confess a sin against another person and the person refuses to forgive you? That person bears the responsibility of failing to forgive. You don't yet done what the Lord requires of you, and you stand clear of the Lord. How to get rid of guilt? You gotta, one, admit to the sin that created our guilt. Two, make amends if you have wronged another person. And don't try to substitute work for your sins. Ask again. And once someone asks you forgiveness, we must accept. Accept forgiveness. And give. That is our word for this morning. We have come out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principle Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And the goal of our ministry is to read the entire Bible in 1 year. And hopefully that whatever is said will touch your heart, will touch your mind, will touch your spirit, will give you a clear understanding of who our Father God is. And the fact that he loves us completely and totally. And my voice has gotten a little hoarse today, so please forgive me. But our word for this morning from our 365 prayer for life is this. Then, friends, if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Ecclesiastes 4:10. And I understand this. You know, I work as a caregiver, so when I say I have to go to work, I really do. I work for and take care of seniors in their home. And I have had in my career, I've been doing this particular job. I'm in my eighth year of being a caregiver. And I'm grateful that, you know, I've worked in the office, I've worked in the field. You know, I've been you know, a caregiver of the month. I've been a caregiver of the quarter. And I've been a caregiver of the year. Why? Because it's not a job for me. It's my passion. It's my calling. And there's nothing worse than hearing or seeing or having a senior fall. It's devastating. It is devastating. You don't want them to fall on your life. So pray. And pray that God sends you a friend. That if you fall, you have a helping hand to pick you up. And if you both fall, we know that the hand of God will pick us up. So thank God for him. Don't try to be a lone wolf, because it is no fun not to have someone to laugh with and to talk to go shopping with, to travel with, to just have someone that is working. And this is what it is, compassionate one that we call Holy Father God. You are an ever-present help in time of trouble. Whenever I stumble, there you are with your strong arm to catch and hold me. I have known your faithful presence as my constant support in every season. No one masters your grace, but let your people do their best. I'm so grateful for a community of men who have stuck with me through thick and thin. They have been there through my darkest days and are a constant source of encouragement, solidarity, and aid. I see you in them. For those going it alone with you, I pray that you send friends so they would know the beauty of life shared with others who are seeking to live for you. Let your mercy flow through us to one another and out into the world. A sure load is lighter. May I walk intentionally, sharing my own burden as well as helping others with theirs. That we are strengthened in family and community. Let me not be isolated from your people. And it says, who are your true friends? And in honesty, I can count them on one hand. I have a lot of acquaintances, but true friends, the ones that I can call and know that they will come, I can count on one thing. But we thank God. We thank God. Thank God that he brought you through. Thank God that he lifted you up. Thank God that he gave you another day. And as we get ready to wrap it up this morning, away from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, if there's anyone that would like to speak, the number to dial is 213-943-3535. Let me give that number again, because I just got you the wrong number. I got distracted. Sorry. 213-943-3597 is our number to call if you got a word that God has put on your heart that you need to share. But as for this morning, our word from our sister in Christ is this. Stop giving people the power to control your happiness. Your worth and value is determined by God. Have a triumphant day. Have a great day for them. Tell somebody I love you today. Share God with whomever you need to, as he wants to be shared by you. That's all I got this morning. been awake for a long time, but I got to go to work. Why? Because I love it. And I work because I love God. It is my calling to be a light that comes in and brings a smile to someone's face. So have a blessed day, family. It is, as we say, I'm moving forward. What is it, y'all? It's a wrap. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And I just want to say to my friend Tracy, thank you for being with me every day this year. I appreciate you. Have a great day. And be blessed. It's a wrap.